for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday afternoon, September the 4th, 2011. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on abolishing fear.
While they're being seated, I just want to say that Jerry McGee is coming up to share for us again and to pay close attention to what she's saying, and you'll get something out of it that's going to help you when you leave, and something that you can use against the enemy,
mm-hmm.
and something that will make you stand stronger than you already mm-hmm. stand in the enemy, and I think even to touch the Lord's heart with your life even more than
mm-hmm.
you have now.
Thank you, Lord.
So pay close attention.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. These earrings, I tell you, these clip-on earrings paralyze your ears. Forget it. I told Glenn once, Glenn doesn't like you to wear pierced ears, so I want to submit to authority. I told him once, I said, Glenn, these earrings are paralyzing my ears. He said, well, don't wear them then. Well, you know, Lord, I just come, and you have a word here, and I ask you, Lord, to let me be a tree of life. I ask, Lord, that rivers of living water come forth from our innermost being. You said you have water that no one knows of, living water. I pray for living water to be poured out on your children, Lord. Even if I say it wrong, let them hear it right. I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit you will anoint this message with the anointing that breaks the yoke. And Father, I pray the eyes of every heart will be enlightened. Each person will know what is the hope of their calling, what is the height, width, length, and depth of your love toward him. Oh God, in Jesus' name, we just praise you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. Father, I ask you to give us ears to hear. I pray that every person will go home with the key to victory over fear in Jesus' name. Lord, you've not given us a spirit of fear. And if you haven't given it to us, who has? So, Father, we just ask for deliverance today from the spirit of fear that plagues people's lives. In Jesus' name. Did you know you could have 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 different kinds of fears? And each fear is linked to idolatry. And the scripture, I want you to see some things about fear. But to overcome fear, what abolishes fear is giving up your life. In any area you give up your life, fear is abolished. And that's just a picture of when Matthew 11... 28 through 30 that says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon your neck and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul. You know, it takes a measure. God says he's given every man a measure of faith, right? And it takes a measure of faith to give your life up to God. Is that correct? Because if you grew up with parents that were rapists or were drunk all the time, or if you grew up with parents that didn't love you, didn't want you, rejected you, didn't protect you, didn't nurture you, you've received some lies about God. And the reason we faint, it means we give up, quit, bail out, take a nosedive, and then when a problem comes, if we're married, we'll want a divorce. How I learned about a fainting spirit was I was married to a fainter. I grew up in a family that they didn't faint. They'd make you faint, but they said they were not fainters. And I'd never been around a person that was depressed in my whole life. My family might depress you, but they weren't depressed. And so I learned about what causes a person to faint, give up, quit, bail out, lose heart. And it's because we have a perverted image of God. And that perverted image of God comes in through having parents that were perverted, that were not lined up with the Word of God. And so however you see your earthly parent, you have received a lie that God is the same way. And that's why many of you don't come to God with your problems because he might be like my daddy or like my mother. And you're maybe not conscious of that. And so whenever you give up your life in any area, fear is abolished. When you take Jesus' yoke on, it requires you giving up your life to come under the control of Jesus, and that will abolish fear because you're in His presence. If He gives you rest, rest means peace. It means tranquility. It means not being nervous or anxious. But, you know, we sang that song this morning, yesterday, I don't know when, "You're all I want, you're all I need." If He was all we wanted and all we needed, we wouldn't be fighting and feuding and being afraid we're not going to get our idol. Fear is linked to idolatry. And when you give up your life, it says in John 12 that you'll find your life. You hold on to your life and you'll lose it. Fear is faith in what the devil's telling you. Every fear in our life has to be overcome if we're going to be overcomers in Christ Jesus. You can't be an overcomer if you've got fear in your life, because fear paralyzes you. It keeps you from going all the way up the mountain, as it was prophesied through Louise. It keeps you from going all the way with God. And like Kyle's illustration with the dog only went so far. And see, if we really knew how much God loved us and how much He wanted the best for us, we'd run and jump in His lap. That was an easier thing for me because I grew up with a daddy that protected me. I grew up with a nurturing mother and father and parents that protected me. They were not perfect people, but they never lied to me. They were moral people. They always told the truth. I could always depend on them without fail to do the right thing. And they weren't even in the Word of God. They were just people that wanted to do right. And so that gave me a good image of God, because God is so much greater than my mother and father. And I had ministered to people for probably 20 years before I realized that everybody didn't have a mom and dad like me. I didn't grow up in all the years that I ministered, and when this first came to my mind, I probably only ministered to, in the first probably 10 or 15 years, to maybe three people that told me they had a good mom and dad. Nowadays, the home has just been totally broken down. Diane told me what a good home she grew up in. Some of you grew up in a good home. Clement Humbard grew up in a perfect home. I mean, having a dad and mom. And no parents are perfect. But any violation of the Word of God is operating in fear, anger, unbelief, doubt. Idolatry is all idolatry, the Word says. And so I want to show you that when you let go of whatever that thing, then faith comes. We all have a measure of faith. And it takes a measure of faith for us to come and yield to a God we think's like an abusive daddy, or like we think is like an alcoholic daddy or a violent daddy. It takes a measure of faith to get on the potter's wheel, which is also a picture of, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." All of that means the same. Another word for it is present your body to God as a living sacrifice. Another word for it is deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow the Lord. All of those are words for just getting on the potter's wheel, giving up your life. Because when you let go of it, fear is faith in what the devil's telling you, and you have a measure of faith to yield. But when you yield, then you have the gift of faith. The minute you give up your life, the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus comes in, and you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the resurrected life of Jesus, resurrected in you. When you die to yourself, Jesus can act like who He is. And He is love. He is joy. He is peace. He is long-suffering. He is gentleness. He is goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. That's His personality. You can try to get the potter's wheel and try to crank up faith. You know, the faith teachers say, you know, you just got to gut it up and have faith. Let me tell you, don't come that way. You can gut it up all day, and you can try to say, "I have faith." And this little voice says, "You liar." Is that right? I know, because I used to try to gut it up. But the minute you die to your life, the resurrected life of Jesus comes through, and you have faith. God says, without faith, it's impossible to please me. The just shall live by faith. He who comes to me must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He has all of the perfect answers. He's not like your daddy and mom. He is the answer man. He's got an answer for anything. And that's why some of you, when we say, ask the Lord to show you, you get nothing, because you have believed some lies about God and you're a fainter. And fainters, they want to give up, quit, bail out. They can be having a happy day, but the minute they have a problem, they take a nosedive. And if they're married, you ruined my life. I want out of here. Has anybody heard that besides me? I bet you if I had a nickel for every time my husband told me I ruined his life. You know what? Nobody can ruin your life but you. Everything you go through, God can use to perfect you. In fact, he uses these turkeys in your life. And I know if you're married, your mate's not a turkey, but that's usually the one he uses. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. I know situations where people have, maybe somebody has prayed for years for the right mate for somebody, and then they marry that right mate, and then they think, oh my goodness, if I didn't know God sent that person, I think they're going to ruin their life. But you see, God uses those things. He uses the suffering, for in suffering, sin loses its power over you. And God wants to bring us to the place that it is all about him, and he is all we need. And it's alive when we sing that song, because we wouldn't be feuding, fighting, screaming, hollering, kicking, having fits and falling in them if we really wanted all that God wants. And I haven't learned it yet, but I'm learning that my times are in his hands. He's so smart. I'm learning that when something happens the way I don't think it ought to happen, hey, God's got a better way. And sure enough, he does. But you got to let go of it. You have to let go of your life. Well, let's look at some scriptures in the Word of God. First of all, I want you to see that that fear is rooted in idolatry. Go to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Now, this is talking about God's people. It says, well, let me give you this scripture. 32:15. But in Revelation, it says, they overcame him by the blood of Jesus, the word of their testimony, speaking the word of God, saying what God says, and they loved not their life, even to death. Now, usually when you hear that scripture, they say, we overcome by the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony, but they leave off and they love not their life, even to death. Because in every situation, you can be totally giving up your life in all the situations, and maybe God will let you rest a few days, but then another situation will come up to where you have to let go of your life. And see, that keeps you continually loving not your life, continually taking up the cross of Jesus, which is light and easy. You find rest for your soul. His burden is light. And his load is easy. Continuously doing that puts you in that secret place. And that's where we have to live in these days. If we're not living in the secret place, we'll be killed. A lot of us were just born outside of God's refuge. You know, my mother and daddy, I don't even think they were saved until the later life. I had two grandfathers who were Baptist preachers, but they were moral people. And so really, I wasn't living... they weren't living under God's refuge, even though I felt protected. But many of you, because of the dysfunction in your family, were growing up in a dysfunctional family, were just born outside of God's refuge. And so God wants you to come into that secret place, forgive your parents. And Kyle shared something that Tom shared, which is so true. Every problem in your life goes back to unforgiveness for somebody. Either you need to be forgiven or either you need to be forgiven or you're holding unforgiveness towards somebody, and it could go way back to your great-great-grandfather. A spirit of unforgiveness can pass down through the generations. Or if I had a great-great-great-great-grandfather that said, I'll never forgive, that unforgiving spirit will just pass down the bloodline. And certain cultures are more unforgiving than other people with Indian ancestry, you know, people that have, and there's nothing wrong with Indians, but there's an unforgiving spirit that can come down, revenge, grudges, murder, hatred, and that can come down in all of our bloodlines. But there's certain cultures that are more prone to certain things, a stubbornness, rebellion. So Deuteronomy 32:15 says, but Jeshurun, which means the people of God, it's another word for Israel, and it means the upright one in the Hebrew. They grew fat, which means they became fat. Their heart became so callous and so hard that they produced from the flesh. and their heart became callous. And the Lord showed me, because I came out of generations of Jeshurun people that kind of hang in there and let the front end drag kind of people. And that's one of the roots for cataracts, because that's a callous on your eye. About 6 weeks ago, well, I noticed over the past year when I would sit a long time and I would get up, for the first 30 seconds or so, I could barely walk. I thought, oh, that's just because of your age. And then I thought, no, I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going to give into that. But anyway, you know how you don't change until you have to. You know, you just kind of hang in there. Well, thank God, I got to where I couldn't. I went through about 2 weeks of walking like Tim Conway because it was so painful to walk. And I never had that happen in my whole life. But, I mean, I was limping. And I got up one night to go to the bathroom, and I thought, I'm not going to make it. It was so painful. And so I got the Bible concordance out. And I looked up all the scriptures on leg, flesh, paralyze, walk, path. I spent all day in the Word repenting over scriptures that had to do with my symptoms. And can I tell you, my leg is better than it was before? Now, I could have gone to the doctor and got muscle relaxers, and I'd still be on them. But I'm totally healed. In fact, now I can sit all day and get up and not even feel nothing. But you see, there was something about my generations, and most of it was like a generational thing. Not that I'm not taking accountability for my sin because I was repenting whether I thought I was guilty or not. But there was some things that God wanted me to see in the Word about walking in the flesh, walking in pride. There's scriptures about being crippled and lame, and I looked up all those scriptures, asked God to forgive me, forgave my forefathers, broke generational curses, broke soul ties, and hallelujah, not one touch of anything in my leg. You see, God sent His Word to heal you. He did not send folks to heal you. And you can say, well, God created antibiotics, baloney. That is a bunch of baloney. The Bible says that all of that is sorcery. And I hope to God, you know, and I'm not saying I'm never going to go to the doctor, okay? I'm not going to be so stupid to say that. I just pray to God I don't have to. But God sent His Word to heal you, and the answer to all your problems is in the Word of God. It is. And if Jesus Christ is the living Word of God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word of God. Psalms 107 says, He sent His Word to heal you. Psalms 103 says, He pardons your iniquities and heals all your diseases. 3 John says, Beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So your health and healing and prosperity will be according to a prospering soul. And you don't get a prospering soul watching TBN. You get a prospering soul through being here in this Word. And there could come a day in America real soon that the only word you have is what you've stored in your heart. And so line your life up with the Word. Those of you maybe not can come to Lake Hamilton, but or go to a deliverance ministry. But the greatest deliverance is just lining your life up with the Word of God. James 4:7. Give yourself to God, number one. Number two, resist the devil and he'll flee. In fact, the minute you repent, it's boo devil. And so he sent his Word to heal you. Okay, let's read in 15. But Jezreel grew fat and kicked. You are grown fat, thick, and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him, and he scorned the rock of his salvation. They made him God jealous with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they've not known. And you can put Revelation 9:20 there that says when you worship idols, you worship demons. Around every idol is not only fear, but it's anger. Around every idol is anger, fear, depression, hurt, jealousy, all of these negative, toxic emotions. And if you don't deal with them, eventually they'll turn into cancer and no telling what else. You've got to deal with your bitterness. You cannot keep bitterness. You cannot keep anger. If anger crops up in your life, Lord, why is that there and how do I get rid of it? And God wants to take it. But when you give up your life, you find it. Your life is what you're trusting in, your idol. Okay, see the repercussions. So then God gets angry. And in verse 20, he said, I'll hide my face from them. I'll see what their end shall be, for they're a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. I want you to see these are sons. Sons in whom is no faithfulness. They've made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So, he says, I'm going to make them jealous. So you see, that's jealousy is a fruit of idolatry. And I'm going to provoke them to anger. So you see that anger is a fruit of idolatry. Then in verse 23, I'm going to heap misfortunes on them. And I'm going to use my arrows on them. Job 6:4, Job said, the arrows of the Almighty are within me. He never accused the devil of nothing. He said, the arrows of the Almighty are in me. The other day, a man wrote an article and sent it to me about how Job, it was like Job had no sin. I said, Job was full of sin. He was the most perfect man that lived upon the earth. He was certainly better than we are. But he's full of sin. And he just kept wanting to argue. And I said, are you telling me that Job was sinless? The Bible says that only Jesus Christ was sinless. But Job said, the arrows of the Almighty are within me. He has loosed his bowstring on me. God's done that. He's let his troops run over me. And there was bitterness and there was fear. But it said he was the most righteous man that lived upon the earth. Why? Because he feared God and he turned away from evil. So when you and I see sin, we need to turn from it. And if we're having a hard time turning from it, Lord, why am I having a hard time turning from this? Because it's going to be too late when... I pray to God calamity doesn't hit America, but every day I see something more crazy. And I believe every message just about we've heard here has been being in the... Everybody has alluded to the secret place, the place of safety, the place of protection. In the occult, people that grew up in the occult, they have a safe place. They astral project to the park or some place that they call a safe place. It's like an out-of-the-body experience. Well, if a demon can take somebody out of their pain and out of their body, God certainly can't he? More so, he made us. And then it says, they shall be wasted by famine, that's hunger. That could be one of the roots to why we're always hungry. And consumed by plague. Now, plague could include a lot of things. I didn't know I was going to teach on this, but I should have got the definition of plague. But I believe it includes any kind of a wasting disease, any kind of a spirit of death, or any kind of a sickness or infirmity. So I got a plague in my body. What is Psalms 91? Because I make the Lord my refuge, even the Most High my habitation. No evil shall befall me, nor will any plague come near my dwelling. Well, we all have a few little things that we could call a plague. You know, if you have skin cancer, I've had skin cancer, and praise God, it's getting better. But that's a plague, and I've looked for answers for it, and I'm going to keep on looking until every trace of it's gone. I'm not going to quit. You know, in healing, what happens is we get some relief, get a layer or two off, and then, we don't feel any pain, and then we go on a little longer, about an hour or two or a week or 2 weeks, and it comes back. It doesn't mean you weren't delivered of those few layers. It means God wants to show you another layer. There's something else. And you keep dealing with the layers until the onion is peeled. And when you're totally healed, there won't be no little voices saying you're not healed. You know, have you ever had people prayed for your healing and this little voice says you're not healed? You ever had that happen? You're not. Because there's something there in your conscience that God's wanting to show you. Once I got a crick in my back, and you know, I thought, well, it's going to work out after about a week. Well, it didn't. People anointed me with oil and laid hands on me, and this little voice said, you're not healed. And so the next week I was going to preach at church, so I still had the crick. So I got up and I looked up all the scriptures on back. There was about 300 back scriptures. And I repented over each one, broke generational curses. And when I was dressing, this voice said, I still had a crick in my back, but it was like you're healed. And my spirit man went, yes! You see, a clear conscience, because I had repented, a clear conscience gave me the faith to believe, and I still had a crick in my back. By the time I got to church, and you couldn't tell me I wasn't healed. I knew that 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 I was healed, even though I had a crick in my back. By the time I got to church, it was totally gone. And see, that's when the Lord showed me that when your conscience is clear, you have faith and trust in God. And you also have freedom of speech. If you can't say certain things to people, it's because you got a log in your eye. There used to be a guy in our ministry, he said, you know you got a log in your eye when their speck is getting on your last nerve. And then it says, if you get the log out of your eye, then you will see clearly. You will see clearly how to get the speck out of someone else's. And your perception will change. They may change. They may not change. But you change for sure. Or you don't even care if they change anymore. Because, see, you got your log out. It's not bothering you anymore. So, you see, he turns them over to the teeth of beasts. That's demons. And he's going to send upon them the venom of crawling things of the dust. And outside the sword shall bereave. And inside, terror. So you see, terror means to be overcome by fear. Terror is a stronger word than fear, even. So you see the idolatry. And then in verse 28, they have no understanding. Would that they were wise, that they could discern that one could chase 1,000, two could chase 10,000, unless their rock had sold them. You see, when we have idols, we allow the rock to sell us because we're trusting idols and not God. And the good news is in verse 36, it says, for the Lord will vindicate his people and will have compassion on his servants when he sees that their strength is gone. That's their idol, what they're trusting in. When they give up their life, God has compassion. And he won't have you. You can come to deliverance seminars every day, have people pray for you 24/7, but until you give up your idols and you give up your life, deliverance will not come. It may come temporarily, which will be like if you see a bunch of buzzards out there on a dead carcass, you run out and say, shoo, and they go away. But the minute you turn your back, they're back. But in deliverance, you have to bury the carcass through repentance, through laying down your life, giving up your life to go into that secret place to take the yoke of Jesus upon you. The yoke of Jesus produces the fruit of the Spirit because when you take on the yoke of Jesus, you give up control of your life to God. Okay, so you see that fear is idolatry. Go to Leviticus, please. Leviticus 26. And you see that fear comes in through breaking God's covenant with you. You're going to be the bride of Christ. And you're in a covenant relationship with him to be his holy bride. You know, Satan, people in Africa and Satanists know more about covenant than the church does. But whenever you break covenant, you open yourself up to a spirit of death. And it's like you promised to be God's possession. When you come to know Jesus as your Savior, you're entering into a covenant relationship with Him whereby two people become one, and He is your possession and you are His possession. And so when you have idols, you break covenant. Go to Leviticus 26:14 says, "But if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, if instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances, so as not to carry out all my commandments, and so break my covenant, I in turn will do this to you. I will appoint over you sudden terror, consumption, that sickness, and fever that shall waste away the eyes." Now see, that's a big major root to eye problems. "And cause the soul to pine away." That could be fainting, it could be heart problems. "Also you shall sow your seed uselessly, for your enemies shall eat it up." In other words, you never get ahead. The further you go, the behinder you get. He says, "And I'm going to set my face against you so that you will be struck down before your enemies and those who hate you." Now, who hates you? The Satanists, the witches, the One World Order, the Illuminati, those who hate you, demons hate you, "shall rule over you, and you shall flee when no one is chasing you." It's a running spirit. And I forgot who that was, but if you're always running, you're under this curse. And Lord, pray with me, forgive me for disobedience to your voice and your commandments. "And I forgive my forefathers for being covenant breakers, and I renounce that running spirit that's come down on me generationally. And I take accountability for breaking your covenant. My heart going after other gods, other lovers, and breaking covenant with you, which would cause you to sell me. In Jesus' name." Now I just take the sword of the Spirit, and I take the Word of God, the blood of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, and I command that running spirit to go. Leave every person in this room in Jesus' name. It says you're going to run when no one chases you. "If after these things you do not obey me, then I'll punish you 7 times more for your sins. And I'll also break down your pride of power." That needs to get broke down, doesn't it? "I will also make your sky like iron and your earth like bronze." In other words, you don't get your prayers answered. "And your strength shall be spent uselessly, for your land shall not yield its produce, and the trees of the field, the land, shall not yield their fruit." You know, this is just kind of a sideline thing, but when I bought this land, this 116 acres back in 94, I would walk back. It had been landlocked for like 100 years at least. And I would walk back to the back part, and I'd walk all over the land, and it, you know, was thick, those sticky vines and all kind of sticky stuff. And I would walk through there, and I would always hear birds. I'd always hear animals, but I never saw them. So I built a house right out in the middle of the land, and I never saw a bird. And one day, two ladies that were praying with me, I said, "You know, it's really strange." This one lady does spiritual mapping and studied the land and what lived in Lindale. And I said, "This is really strange." I said, "I never see a bird, but I hear them. I put bird feeders in the front, bird feeders in the back." And we went outside, and one of the prayer ladies was had Cherokee Indian bloodline. And so we went outside, and so I forgave the Indians, and the Indians forgave the white people, and we had a little ceremony, and they poured oil on the land. And the next morning, I was sitting at the breakfast table, and there were hundreds of birds, robins. I bet there was 50 robins, woodpeckers, every kind of bird imaginable. That was a miracle to me. Well, after a while, they started kind of dwindling. And one day I was driving down the road, and I heard this: the land mourns. So I go home and I get on the computer and I pull up all the scriptures, the land mourns. And what I did is I repented over anything anyone who had ever done that had lived on that land, anybody that had rented the land, owned the land, or anything my forefathers did on land. And I broke generational curses and broke soul ties. And I want you to know, from that day forward, Bert, when I got to this one scripture, it says, the land mourns and the birds disappear. And so I broke all of that, and I've had birds. I mean, I can fill a bird feeder and it's empty. And so here, this scripture, when I read it, I thought of it. It says, and your strength shall be spent uselessly, for your land shall not yield its produce, and the trees of the land shall not yield its fruit. And that was a miracle. If then you act with hostility against me and are unwilling to obey me, I'll increase the plague on you seven times according to your sins. So you see where sickness comes through breaking covenant with God. Now I know that there's a sickness unto death when God wants to take you to heaven, but you can't die till God's ready for you. It's impossible to die because God's the one that gives you breath. He's the one that lets you breathe. No man can keep you alive. They can help you hang in there and bandage you up and torture you. But they can't keep you alive. God is the one that puts breath in your nostrils. Okay, so you see that fear is rooted in idolatry and breaking the covenant. Okay, fear is rooted in wearing the wrong yoke. Go to... not walking in the Spirit. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Well, how are you led by the Spirit of God? By wearing His yoke. Because He says, take my yoke and learn of me. I'm going to teach you. Take my yoke and you'll have rest for your soul. That's going to break the fear. That's going to keep you in the secret place. So it's for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now I want you to see the opposite of this. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. I think King James says a spirit of bondage leading to fear again. But you have received a spirit of adoption whereby you cry out, Abba, Father. So you're either wearing the yoke of Jesus, being led by the Spirit, or you're wearing a yoke of bondage. You can't wear but one yoke at a time. So wherever you're not wearing the yoke of Jesus, you're wearing a yoke of bondage, which causes your life to be dominated by fear. It says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're son of God, and you're led by the Spirit through putting to death the deeds of the body. That's dying to your flesh, letting go of your life, letting go of your strength, giving yourself to God, surrender, present your body to God as a living sacrifice, get on the potter's wheel. All of those are words for giving up your life. And so instead of bowing down to Jesus in that situation, if you're not putting to death the deeds of the flesh, you're wearing a yoke of slavery. And the fruit of that yoke of slavery, because it produces the works of the flesh, which is the opposite of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And it's producing a spirit of fear that will dominate your life. Instead of the Holy Spirit dominating your life now, you're bound in, yes, fear. And you say, oh, God told me this. But really, the spirit of fear told you to do it. So fear, the yoke of bondage, produces a spirit of fear that subjects you to slavery. Where the yoke of Jesus produces the fruit of the Spirit, and you're walking in the Spirit. It's a walk of the Spirit. And you can't walk in the Spirit if you're not letting go of your life, letting go of your life, letting go of your life. And I think almost every teacher here has shared that about letting go of your life. And that's the greatest deliverance, being in God's presence. Demons don't like God's presence. So we're walking in God's presence. I wanted to share this. There was an occasion where I saw a mother hen sitting on eggs. And you could go out and you couldn't see nothing. She was just sitting on the nest. And then one day I went out and she just kind of bowed up, like, "Don't come near my baby." And I couldn't see her baby, but I heard that baby chirping. And that's kind of, God says He covers you with His pinions. That safe place. The enemy wants to tell you that that's not a safe place. That's a dangerous place. Especially if you had a dad and mother whose hands meant molestation or slapping or violence or abuse. And you have a fear of giving yourself to God. God is a loving God. You'd run and jump in His lap if you knew how much He loved you. So, it's the fruit of wearing the wrong yoke. Also, go to Matthew 25. It comes in through burying your talent, or causes you to bury your talent. Matthew 25. You know this parable in verse 14 of 25. It says, "For it's just like a man about to go on a journey who called for his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Well, the one who had 5 talents gave him 5 more, which gave him 10. The one with 2 talents gave him 2 more, which gave him 4. But the one with 1 talent said, "Oh, Master, you know, I went and hid what you gave me because I saw you to be a harsh, stiff, stern man." You see, he didn't really know God. And so fear causes you to miss what God created you for. That would be the saddest thing for me to stand before, and you too, for us to stand before the Lord and Him say, "You know, I wanted to do this, I wanted to do that in your life, but you would not come all the way. You would not give up your life to me." And I tell you, the first time that I ever gave up my life, I was addicted to diet pills, and I could not function without diet pills. So I went to a revival, and I was with the town lady who, she was the beauty shop lady of the town. And if you know about, you're in a little town and the beauty shop lady knows all the gossip in town. And my husband was president of a bank in this little bitty town. And here I was going to the Baptist church, and me and my 2 friends were going to a revival in Fort Worth. And he taught about giving up your life. And I had just read this little tract, "My Heart, Christ's Home." How many of you have read that? Well, basically, it's a little tract that said you invite, Jesus knocks on your door, and you invite Him in, and He looks at your magazines, and they're okay. He looks at your house, and it's okay. He looks in your refrigerator, there's no beer, there's no alcohol. He looks in your cabinet, no alcohol. But you got this one closet. Oh, no. God, don't look anywhere, but don't look in that closet, because I knew diet pills would fall out on him. No, God! So going to this revival, the ladies, they had just read that tract too, and they said, "Well, Jerry, what's in your closet?" And I made the stupid mistake of telling them. Now I'm really out on a limb because this lady is the beauty shop lady of the town. The other one was the church piano player. I'm going to be the talk of the town. The banker's wife is a drug addict. Anyway, that day, the man spoke. And he spoke on giving up your life. And he said, the way you do it is, he said, "Have you ever been fighting and scuffling with your brothers or your sisters, and they're pulling on you, and you hold on to the bedstead, and they can't get you out, and then they hold on to the spread, and then you grab the lamp, and then the table, you're holding on to everything. When you get to the door, you're like this." No! He said, "You just let go." Another thing where, you know, the scripture that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path." That's a Hebrew picture word that it's kind of like Jesus is down at the foot of the stairs and you're on the balcony. And it's like you're going to run and jump in His arms, and if He don't catch you, you're in trouble. But I found myself that day, I was out on a limb sawing myself off. If this don't work when I give up these diet pills, I'm going to be the talk of the town. And when I gave him up, my blood pressure was 85 over 60. And so we lived upstairs, and I just went home and laid down on the couch thinking I'm going to have a long winter nap. Because I tried to quit taking them before, and every time I couldn't function. I wanted to be a good mother. I wanted to be a good wife. I wanted to be a good housekeeper. And I couldn't function, and I'd try this for a little while, and then it wouldn't work. So then I would get up and take the diet pills again. But this time I didn't. I just decided, Lord, if it would glorify you the most for me to sleep the rest of the year, and if for me to weigh 400 pounds, then so be it. Because, see, I had a fear of being fat, too. That was another reason I took them. But God delivered me that day in 1969, and I have not had a diet pill since. But I know what it's like to... And that was the hardest thing to give up. But there's been many given up. In fact, in every relationship, you have to give it up, give it up, give it up. And you know it's an idol if it makes you mad when you don't get it. And you know it's an idol if you fear you're going to lose it. And you know it's an idol if you fear if you have it, or you fear you're not going to get it, you know it's an idol. And if you don't get it, you get depressed, and you know it's an idol. You've just got to let it go. You've got to really mean, Jesus, this is all, you're all I want. That was tested in my life because when I got saved, I couldn't get enough of God. And my husband left me for his secretary. And I remember it was in November, right around Thanksgiving, a lonely time of the year. And I was laying in front of the fireplace crying. And all this, when I got saved, it was like, Jesus, you're all I want. And after my husband left, I was praying, and God said, Jerry, am I really all you want? Yes, God, but I want my husband back too. He didn't bring him back. He didn't kill him. He's still alive. And we're good friends. And, you know, I know he still loves me, but I don't want him back. And that was the biggest heartbreak of my whole life. I think until last year I could even though I thought I was healed, and I think I was because I'd forgiven him, I could still cry about it because my heart was broke. And I'm sure all of y'all have had a broken heart. But let me tell you, joy comes in the morning. Now you'd want them. If you just keep on doing what God wants you to do, one of these days you'll write all those people a thank you note for leaving. You can get bitter or you can get better. Amen. But when you hold on to your idol, you'll be bitter. Mean, bitter, mean-spirited, hateful. And that does not please God. Okay, so fear causes you to bury a talent and go to Hebrews. And there can be some other things, but I'm just going to go to a few things. Go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. It says, since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So when Jesus died on the cross, if you're a believer, he delivered you from the fear of death. And if you have a fear of dying, that's what runs people to the world, is a fear of death. A fear of, and it also means a fear of dying to your flesh. We fear that if we give up that thing, if I give up that diet pill, I can't function. I want to tell you that my blood pressure was 85 over 60 then, and now, that was in 69, and all these years later, my blood pressure is 124 over 74. And I'm on no medication, just gas pills, just letting the Word of God heal me. I still have things that need to get healed. I'm believing the Lord to heal my eyes totally. They are better than they are. They're not any worse than they were 7 years ago. I'm wearing the same glasses I wore 7 years ago. But there's still a lot there that needs to get healed. And so we all have areas that need to get healed. Trust the Lord. Now, if you're not going to look for the spiritual root to why you got what you got, you might as well go to the world, because you're not going to get healed. And if you go to the world and you're not looking, you're not going to get healed if you don't look for the answer to the problem. God is an answer man. Look for the answer. No matter if God leads you to go to the doctor or the Lord leads you not to go, personally, I don't think He's leading you to go, but that's between you and God. But if you go, look for the spiritual root to it. Velma, a girl that's been in my ministry, she's traveled with me for years and years. She's been a nurse for 30 years. And she would work 24/7 in a hospital. In fact, it was her whole life. All the only extra thing she did was to go travel with me and play the piano or work my book table or go to my seminars. And she was diagnosed last year with cancer of the bone in three places in her back. And she had breast cancer too, which was a total separate kind of cancer. Well, there's soul ties with your patients. But the Lord, she went the medical route. She had chemo. She went through radiation. She did all of that. But she didn't wait till she was so sick she couldn't get in the Word. She's been in the Word, repenting over the Word. And recently she went back to the doctor after a year, and he said, there's been no change. In other words, and at first that kind of depressed her. That was a good report. Because you don't have what she's got, and a year later you go back to the doctor and he tells you that's nothing worse and nothing better. But her spirit, man, is so strong. I mean, she's been repenting, and she's now traveling again. She's now playing the piano again. And she realizes one of the things the Lord showed her, she would go to work and they would tell her, Velma, this is your day off. It's like it was being in a demonic atmosphere 24/7. Good news puts fat on the bones and makes your bones healthy. If I'm in an atmosphere of bad news for 30 years, 24/7, it'll make you sick. If good news puts fat on the bones, let me tell you, bad news will make you sick. And that was one thing that she learned. And she did scriptures. She looked up scriptures on bones and death and speak to the breath and say to the breath, oh, breathe on these that are slain. But the Bible said He sent His word to heal her. And her soul is prospering. Even though there's no change after a year, she's not wearing a back brace. The pain was so bad that it took her breath away. She had to take pain medicine. Now, she's on no pain medicine. She has not one pain in her body with three broken bones in her back that are crushed. And breast cancer. She had that breast removed on Wednesday, and she was in church Sunday, took care of herself, was home the next day. And I took her to church, and I said, Velma, I'm going to Sam's afterwards. You want me to take you home first? She said, no, I want to go with you. So she walked all over Sam's just a few days after that, because her spirit man is getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, and she's still repenting. You can be so prayed up, so repented up, but let me tell you, every word in here we've violated, or our forefathers have. Maybe you're different and you haven't, but I can just be prayed up, confessed up. When I got the bad eye report, I was prayed up, confessed up, couldn't think of anything. When I got in this word and started looking up blind, eyes, see, heart, I said, dear God, no wonder I have an eye problem. I'm serious. You get in the Word and you'll see why you got what you got. There's 800 scriptures on the heart. And high blood pressure has to do with anger, rage, congestive heart failure. All those things have to do with toxic negative emotions. And like Tom said, they're rooted in unforgiveness. Areas where you need to confess your sin and the sins of your forefathers. Because if all those things, your forefathers have cancer, your forefathers have all these things, these perversion and all kinds of stuff, anger, bitterness, revenge, that passes down the generations. And if you don't have it in your life, then deal with grandma and grandpa. Keep on until He heals you. And I hope that encourages you. And if you come and tell me you're going to the doctor tomorrow, please know I'm not going to judge you, because I don't want to get what you got. Because you become like who you judge. Is that right? But I'm going to say the truth of God's Word. Praise the Lord. Okay, so fear causes you, it subjects you to slavery. You're in bondage to it, afraid to give up your life. And we've all been there. There's been times, so many times I've had to give up my life and I didn't really want to. But you have to. You don't have, you know, basically, who was it that said, maybe it was Richard. He don't really give you, it's not much of a choice. You can choose the potter's wheel or the monkey machine, whichever you choose. My husband used to work with youth at this, it was like a Gainesville home for rebellious kids. And they couldn't do, they could only use certain kind of disciplines. So one of the disciplines they did was they had this machine that would shake the kids. And they called it a monkey machine. So you can choose the potter's wheel or the monkey machine. I've been on the monkey machine. I choose the potter's wheel. The cross and the blood of Jesus and wearing the yoke of Jesus brings the joy of the Lord in your life. The joy of the Lord is His strength. So stand up and ask the Lord to... do you have that one, a run to the roar? This is from Bill Gothard, and he uses this illustration to overcome fear whenever we get it. But an old lion is toothless and can't really do anything. But what it does is it chases the prey, the deer, into the woods, into the jungle, where the young lions are there laying in wait, and they kill the deer, And see, the little animal doesn't know that in the jungle is where it's dangerous. And see, the enemy is like a roaring lion. He's trying to run you in where you'll get devoured. And the way, Bill Gothard says, the way to overcome fear, you do the next one, is run into the roar. And so the way I overcome fear is I say, Lord, you hear what the devil's telling me? Lord, if that would bring you greater glory and honor for that bad thing to happen, then so be it. The devil, you can't touch me because I'm in the hands of the potter. And if you really mean that, that will disarm fear. Because you're giving it, you're taking it up the mountain like Abraham did Isaac, and you're putting a knife to it. It doesn't sound like a good thing to kill your only son. But it's a way to put it to death. By taking it up, all the way up, the prophecy Louise gave, all the way up the mountain and give it to the Lord. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let me say this. You tell me what you fear, and I'll tell you what the idol is. If you fear rejection, the idol is I can't be rejected. If you fear no one loves you, the idol is I got to be loved. If you fear being hurt, the idol is I can't be hurt. If you fear nobody will talk to you, the idol is, you got to talk to me. And this comes in through the failures of mother and father. We don't take all these things to God. We let the sun go down on it. And instead of turning to God, for example, say I grow up and I'm rejected by my parents. Well, unconsciously, I promise myself that when I grow up, I'm going to find someone who will love me and accept me. And so I don't go to God and say, I forgive my parents for not loving me and for rejecting me, because I don't know to do that. So I just turn to a promise. When I get out of this house, life's going to be different. I just turn to the idol. So if I let the sun go down on, I'm going to find someone who loves me and accepts me, and I turn to that to protect my heart, I've turned to an idol. You see that? So whatever you fear is the idol. And it comes in through being a child who doesn't take your pain to God. You let the sun go down on it and make an inner vow or an inner determination that when you grow up, life's going to be different. And that sets in motion forces for you to keep on getting treated the same old way. If you have an idol, I can't be rejected, guess what? You're rejected, 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 rejected. Wherever you go, it sets up rejection. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? So the only way that reaping can stop and that default can be broken is for you to go back and forgive your parents, ask God to forgive you for letting the sun go down on your anger and dishonoring your mother and father, which means to forgive them by sundown. You didn't know to do that. So when a problem comes up, these are things that you look for. What's been planted, and it gets planted when we don't go to God, it turns to an idol, and it'll stay like a sore place down in your heart. And those sore places are all attached to idols, those button pushers. So, Lord, search my heart. Test my thoughts. Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. What do I fear? How do I get rid of this fear? Where did I let the sun go down on it? Show me how to give up my life. And I bind the spirit of fear of dying to your flesh. Fear of letting go. I bind the spirit of fear. I bind the lying spirit that tells them that God doesn't want the best for them. In Jesus' name. If you had angry, raging parents, you can be swallowed up in a spirit of fear. It says in Galatians, brethren, see to it you don't bite and devour one another, lest you be consumed by one another. You can actually bite and devour people till in the spirit realm you eat them up. And so some of you who've been molested or had raging parents or abused by brothers or sisters, you could be swallowed up in fear. So you got to get out of there. So in a minute, we're going to pull you out of there. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I take all of my fears up the mountain. And Lord, and don't pray it if you don't really mean it, but I can tell you it will disarm fear. Lord, in Jesus' name, and let me tell you, God wants the best for you. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have the abundant life. He's a good God. And the enemy will lie to you. And if he's a lying spirit, he's going to tell you the word. The devil told me that I wasn't going to function for the next year. And my blood pressure was so low, I could barely get the clothes basket up the stairs. But I can tell you that God delivered me. And the enemy said, you're going to weigh 500 pounds. I had to say, well, Lord, if that would glorify you the most, I don't want it, God, but so be it. I have to be willing to suffer, because in suffering, sin loses its power over me. So, Lord, I take all of these fears up the mountain. Forgive me, Lord, that as a child, I was hurt, and I forgive my parents for all the ways I was hurt. And Lord, forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger and judging my mother and father, dishonoring my mother and father. Forgive me for making vows and promises to protect my heart. And forgive me for not going to you with my problems. And forgive me for not forgiving my parents by sundown. And that set up a reaping in my life. And Lord, I just want to lay it down. I ask you to break that default of idolatry. And Lord, I choose to take your yoke upon my neck. It's light and easy, and I find rest for my soul. Lord, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. I choose to put to death the deeds of the flesh. I choose for you to lead me. I don't want to be led by a spirit of fear anymore. Lord, forgive me for not putting to death the deeds of the flesh. Now I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut that yoke of bondage, that yoke of slavery off their neck. I break that yoke of iron. Lord, forgive me for breaking covenant with you. And Lord, my forefathers broke covenant with you. And that spirit of fear has come down on me generationally. Through my parents' idolatry, and them letting the sun go down on their anger and turning to false gods. I ask you to break that curse that I'll run when nobody's chasing me. I break that curse and I command those demons to leave that would cause them to run when nobody's chasing them, and the sound of a driven leaf make them run when they hear a bush rattle. I break it. I break the power of fear of rejection. I break the power of fear of communication. I break the power of fear I won't be loved. Fear of being hurt. I cut down all the walls that have been built around the heart in the name of Jesus. I break the power of fear and terror in Jesus' name. I break it. And Lord, forgive me for burying my talent. Lord, and not yielding to you, the potter. So I would fulfill the purpose of my creation. Forgive me for fear of dying. God, forgive me for wanting to die. Forgive me for wanting other people to die. Forgive me for making death wishes. Lord, I repent. And forgive me for fear of giving up my life. And Lord, I forgive my parents that I couldn't trust them. I forgive them that I couldn't even trust myself, but I was the only one that I could trust, if that makes sense. I didn't trust them, but I trusted me more than I trusted them. But I couldn't trust me, which made me fearful. And I break the power of that fear. In Jesus' name, I cut it. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Name some. If y'all want to name some fears, we'll come against them. Without going into detail, just say fear of not being loved. I break the power of fear of failure. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being liked. Fear of going broke. Fear you can't pay the bills. Fear that you'll be the rest of your life alone. When my husband left me, I didn't believe in divorce. And I was willing to say, I thought God was going to make me to live the rest of my life alone. And I had two little boys to raise. But I said to God, Lord, if it'll bring you greater glory and honor for me to live the rest of my life alone, I'll do it. In Jesus' name. Now I choose to do it because I don't want to be married. Jesus is my husband. And marriage is honorable. I'm not trying to say it's not. But after you've had two miserable marriages, I think that's enough. In fact, I'll tell y'all something funny. I got this thing from eHarmony.com where it says they'll give you this little free test. And so I thought, well, that'd be fun. And I honestly would not want anybody on eHarmony.com. Okay? But it was fun taking the test. And I took that little test and those little balls spin around like a pinball machine, you know, on the computer. And it said, I'm sorry, we can't find a match for you. And I said, you know what? Even eHarmony, recently they had a party, a graduation party for my son, and they asked me to pray. And I prayed, and you'd have thought I dropped a bomb. Now, this was people that were church people, and you'd have thought I dropped a bomb on the room just paying. And nobody even wanted to talk to me. I thought, no, everybody rejects me. eHarmony.com doesn't even want me. Praise the Lord. And I'm not offended, okay? you're gonna have to get used to it. The narrow way, single file. Have you experienced that? The closer you get to the Lord. You know what? When you're a heathen or a fence rider, nobody says nothing to you. But God says, He says, I've made your mouth like a sword. I've concealed you in the shadow of my hand. I have made you a sharp arrow, and I have hidden you in my quiver. Now, we can use that tongue to kill people, or we can use it to speak the truth to them, and it's not popular. If you want to be popular, you might as well get used to it. If Jesus was persecuted and rejected and despised of all men, what makes us think we're going to get any better treatment? And it's going to get worse in America. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you. Does anybody want to name a fear and we'll break it? Fear of sickness, fear of death, fear of disease, fear of hospitals, fear of doctors. Go in Jesus' name. Fear of the nursing home. I break your power in Jesus' name. You know what you could do if you got put in the nursing home? Use it as an evangelistic tool, because those poor people are on the way to hell, most of them. Bombed out in another town, most of them. That's what I've decided, that if I ever get put there, that I'm going to use it for the Lord. Every minute I breathe, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. Amen? And if you're there and you have a divine purpose, hey, you don't mind being there, right? Praise you, Lord. And Lord, we break the power of fear of being in a nursing home. In Jesus' name, Lord, our steps are ordered. What else? Fear of concentration camps. We break it in Jesus' name. Fear of the one world order. We break it in Jesus' name. We break it in Jesus' name. We break it in Jesus' name and we cut away the snares. Break the power of rejection in Jesus' name. I break the power of barrenness in Jesus' name. I break the power of abandonment in Jesus' name. What? Fear of being alone. I break that in Jesus' name. Jesus is a friend that stays closer than a brother. He will never leave you, fail you, or forsake you. Praise you, Lord.
And
fear of being timid. We break the power of timidity in Jesus' name. Fear of being embarrassed, fear of being shamed, fear of being hurt, fear of being humiliated. I break your power in Jesus' name. Anything else? I break the power of fear of stroke in Jesus' name. I break the power of fear of high blood pressure. It's rooted in anger. It is. It's a demon. High blood pressure, get out in Jesus' name. We break the power of cancer. We break the power of fear. We break the power of terror. We break the power of idolatry. We break the power of hurt, pain, grief, sadness, sorrow. We break the power of bitterness in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. We break the power of osteoporosis. We break the power of rebellion. Fear of being a rebel. We break it in Jesus' name. Osteoporosis is envy rottens the bones. Break the power of envy in Jesus' name. Fear of disobedience. We break the power of that. You're not perfect. Your clay's full of junks. Just stay yielded. Lord, show us every time we step out of line in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we just, in the name of Jesus, we just bless you for your word. We praise you. We tear down strongholds of Jezebel, Antichrist, death, hell, plagues in Jesus' name. We break the power of cancer of the lymph nodes. We break it in Jesus' name. We break the power of fear I won't get any attention. I break that in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. I break the power of disunity. You know, if I want my way and you want your way, there's a fight, right? If you both can agree that it's going to be God's word, God's way, total unity. That good? Praise the Lord. Well, bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Every demon power that came in through everything they've confessed has to leave now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Get a partner and jerk him on the potter's wheel. Well, before you do that, Lord, I ask you to drop, put your hands up. I ask you, and when you do it like this, it's like halt. This is, Lord, I receive. Would you please drop down the yoke of, your yoke of heaven, drop down on your children. Lord, we receive your yoke in Jesus' name. When my mother and father forsake me, you will take me up, O Lord. I break the power of running in Jesus' name. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. You're my rock. You're my fortress. You're my deliverer. In Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. You know that I've been a widow since 1999. I probably could say before then. And I have not spent one lonely day in all those years. God is always with you. He will never leave you. He is your best friend that sticks closer than a brother. He watches you all the time. You are the apple of His eye. And He loves you so much, and He receives you so much that He died for you. And He wants to live in you and walk around in your body and act like who He is. Amen? Bless you. Thank you so much. I'm going home, but I love you, and I hope you'll come back to Lake Hamilton next month and bring people with you. God bless you. Oh, Lord, I bless the food. I ask you to purify it, sanctify it. Thank you for Rick. He's on a roll back there. We bless him. And, Lord, we pray that you minister to him back there. And we pray that you bless every worker at this camp. And thank you for the food. Lord, thank you for Don and Ada and Tom and Diane and Jane and Benny. Thank you so much for Patty and Kevin. And thank you so much for Sandy. And I hope I didn't miss it. And Richard, thank you for all the helpers. Thank you for Kevin. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.